All right, welcome back. Hour two. 25 years old is Bull Durham. Doesn't look a day over 23. Makes me feel old.
Trey Wilson, the manager in Bull Durham, great character.
Was he ever in another movie? I'm sure he's been in a lot. I'm sure I probably recognize him from other movies too. But
you know, he passed away just a couple years after the movie came out in 1989. He was also Nathan Arizona in Raising Arizona.
That's it. That was so good. I've got a top 10 list of things you probably don't know about Bull Durham as it turns 25 years old this year. So,
you sure? I know quite a bit about
Bull Durham. Well, I know. Okay, when I say you, I mean listeners, not you. You know everything about everything. You don't get to be in high profile, my man, unless you know a lot about a lot.
You're just good at fooling people.
Is that James Harris on the line?
Jimbo!
Okay, let's go right to the phones.
Are you in high profile?
Phil Elson was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, how about that?
True. Hi, Jim.
It was awesome.
Jim,
hey, man.
You and I can sit around and lament the fact that we will never be in high profile together over a cold beverage on the golf course.
I think it's great to have any sports figure around town. And I consider you a sports figure, Phil Elson.
And what a figure it is. And I'm so happy to be sitting here looking at him. Man, you're fine.
I've lost so much weight in the last year. I'm now a figurine.
That's a good point.
What's going on?
How are you?
Well, you know, I'm doing great. We have a new Arkansas Wild out on the street. I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yes. When did it hit Sporting Life Arkansas stands now?
Well, it hits Arkansas Times. It's next to, I think, any Arkansas Times is distributed around the area. There should be an Arkansas Wild next to it or in the vicinity. Got a picture of Lake Washita, or fishermen on Lake Washita, and it's got a feature inside about the great walleye fishing of Lake Washita. And I'll tell you what, that is some good eating fish.
There is no question.
Walleye.
Yes. We were at, the other day we went to a Brave New Restaurant, and they had walleye.
Oh, man.
But they had just got
so long?
Yes, but we got there a little late, and they just run out of it. So I had to go for the mixed grill. Buddy, let me tell you something.
There's nothing wrong with that either.
That was pretty, pretty spectacular. Let me just say that for the record.
Someday we're going to need to talk about all the great restaurants that we have here. But Peter Brave and Brave New Restaurant, certainly one of them.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
But we digress. So
we
need to get you up here with a copy of that, Jim. We can go through it and talk about some of the things in
Arkansas Wild. How about next week, maybe?
Done. Sold. Easy.
There, tell your secretary to expect me to barge in like a Bill Vickery.
Okay, let me do that real quick. Hey, Jim Harris is going to be here next week on Tuesday.
Got it, boss.
I was talking to me, not you.
Sorry.
You're not my secretary. Okay, so I guess Razorback-wise, Todd Butler is the big story.
Yeah. He was probably going to be a candidate for couple of jobs. Mm-hmm. I thought Auburn might be interested. They went with the Oklahoma coach. Good job for Todd Butler, though. Wichita, you know, they got to see him up close firsthand because the Razorbacks put it on Wichita. I guess put it on by 3-1.
Killed him.
Yeah, that was a putting it on them game for the Razorbacks this year.
Well,
if they won 3-1.
Yeah, but look at it this way. If the Heat score three times as many points as the Spurs do tonight, it's going to be a major blow, right?
Well, definitely.
Okay. Well,
21-7 is a pretty convincing football score.
That's true, it is.
But shouldn't 3-1 be
convincing?
Not a blowout, but it's, you know.
It's good enough.
Kind of like beating the Cubs 5-2. Would you say that was a...
Yeah, it was last night, and the Cubs had like 14 errors on one play, which was awesome. I mean, you're talking about Keystone Cop baseball. Honestly, it's reached a new low. I mean, they lose. They give up four. They give up four runs in the bottom of the ninth to the Mets the day before, and then they lose playing Keystone Cop baseball on national television last night.
Yeah, and don't get a call that if they used replay would have probably surely reversed against the Cardinals.
Yes, after the four errors on the one play, they actually get it back home and get the guy out, and then they call him safe. Yeah, it's
that really looked like a junior deputy league play.
Yes,
I mean,
it did.
I've seen it happen this year.
There's no way Scott's team is going to make any more errors on one play than one happened last night.
I think we have 3-1 play and a close play to play, too, this year.
Okay. Did they get the call at the plate right, at least?
I doubt it.
Okay.
It wasn't a very good year for us.
I understand. So
but it's okay. There's next year.
Okay. So what's the now? I heard some guys talking about this yesterday. I mean, it sounds like the bigger loss with Butler is not necessarily the hitting instructor portion of his job, but more so the recruiting part of it.
Yeah, he's been the recruiter, the chief recruiting coordinator. Ultimately, the head coach in any sport closes. I still firmly believe that. But you know, Butler was out there, you know, finding the talent, you know, setting up the talent for Arkansas to sign, and he's obviously done a great job in the pitching department. You know, some of these guys, though, are, you know, Arkansas-bred, you know, players that the next assistant should, you know, be able to have them in line for as well. It was probably a good move for Butler, but I'll tell you what, there's plenty of guys on these message boards that spent all season, you know, blaming, you know, the hitting coach for Arkansas's woes. I think way too much credit or blame always goes on the coaches, and not enough on the performance or the performers. I mean, perhaps he should have brought. I mean, they should have been able to sign or to bring in the guys that they signed that ended up going on to pro baseball. But it's hard to wave a magic wand, as they say, and make these guys, you know, hit that. I'm sure they spent as much time as they could, you know, instructing these guys on the correct way to hit the baseball. It's what always gets me is seeing these comments on the message boards, particularly that, you know, Coach so-and-so's doing a terrible job because the offensive line stinks, or, you know,
right.
Coach so-and-so's doing a terrible job because Hunter Mickelson won't, you know, rebound, or that kind of thing. I mean,
right.
I think way too much credit of blame was put on the coaches and not enough on the expectations. Of
True.
Play.
Butler obviously must have been doing something right in both aspects of his job, mm-hmm. because, I mean, this isn't Centenary College that hired him. I mean, this is a pretty big name baseball program that was looking to replace a legend. So, I mean, he's known as a fantastic recruiter. I mean, how else are you going to get kids from California to come to Fayetteville and play baseball there? You must be convincing and show the ability to get those kids to come there. And I think that I mean, look, Dave Van Horn, knew that this was a coach that sooner or later was going to be moving on to another job somewhere else. So I have a feel. I wonder if he's got some names already, you know, in the back of his mind to you know, moving forward to replace that recruiting that you're losing right now.
Well, and the thing is, too, it's to me, it's flattering to have a program like Wichita State with the history of that, you know, that program to take a guy like Butler, who's a position coach. I mean, they didn't go out and try to get a head coach at another school. I mean, to get a guy that's a, you know, an assistant head coach. Yes,
first head coaching job.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, to me, that's a great pat on the back to the Arkansas program. You know, it'd be different if he left to go be the Auburn hitting instructor. That'd be different. But
well, he turned down the Texas hitting instructor job last year.
Yeah,
and he got a raise and he played it out to get a head coaching job. This is great for the Arkansas program and for Van Horn that an assistant goes to what is a pretty prime job.
That means that there's a coaching tree starting from Fayetteville now. Once, you know, that you refer to the, you know, the coaching tree of assistants that end up as head coaches in other sports.
We talk about Frank Broyles. I mean,
absolutely.
This is incredible.
Yeah. Absolutely. And now you've got a little bit of a branch coming out of from Dave Van Horn.
Jim,
that'll help them get a guy that could be another Todd Butler saying, hey, if I work at Arkansas for a couple of years or so and do the job.
You know who to look out for as far as a good someone who's moving forward. I don't know if he'll end up as the guy who takes Todd Butler's job, but Brian Walker.
Yeah.
Walk has been the former Traveler and former Razorback, and he's been the volunteer assistant now for 3 years. And, you know, I wonder how long you can be a volunteer assistant before you take a full-time coaching job, whether with the Razorbacks or elsewhere.
Pays worse than being a U.S. bobsledder, apparently.
Probably so.
But, yeah, I'm sure he's volunteering to take the hitting job at this point. So, and probably would he's paid his due, so it would be nice to see him rewarded. So we'll see which way it goes. The bottom line is, whatever Dave Van Horn decides, I trust in. So we'll go with that. Now, they've got a lot of work to do because, again, has the recruiting position ever been more important than it is this year with all the losses they had and the guys that didn't quite get on campus who ended up going to the majors directly?
It's a good point. And also, you know, trying to recruit, you know, a little bit more in the way of big bats. And getting those big bats to come to Fayetteville now.
Jim, SEC football will be on us before you know it, but not nearly soon enough. The preseason teams are starting to come out now, and Phil Steele, who will be on with us tomorrow, has already released his teams. Travis Swanson.
He's the best one.
I agree. Travis Swanson is first team All-SEC, no surprise. He's the only member of the Arkansas Razorbacks on the first team. Chris Smith, the only member on the second team, according to Phil Steele. And then... you got Hawker and Byron Jones getting a little love on the third team. He does have Arkansas a little higher in the West than some other publications do. He has them finishing fifth, and he has Mississippi State bringing up the rear in the West. I got to think that that is going to create a little heat for Dan Mullen if it turns out that way.
Yeah, I would think so, too. They have a lot of players back. And, I mean, he's got his program in place. I would think that they would be – more inclined to finish higher than that. That could be a big game when Arkansas plays them, here in Little Rock. You know, there could be a bowl game on the line.
Yeah, that's right. Let's hope so.
Both teams.
Yeah, I hope that's the case.
Hey, they're just it's just tough. I mean, you know, they're in the SEC West. You know, it's hard. I mean, you look at that schedule for both Mississippi State in Arkansas, and it's you don't see a whole lot of wins for either one of them in the conference.
Well, I look forward to seeing, you know, obviously how it plays out, and look forward to talking to him tomorrow and get his thoughts on how he came up with this. But, you know, everybody's pretty well on board with Kentucky bringing up the rear on the eastern side of things, but I'm curious to see how he arrived there. He actually has Auburn and Mississippi State as a tie for that sixth place, so... And they made up the same record.
I think it's going to be hard. I think Auburn's going to be better than everybody expects. I think they're going to be better on defense than everybody expects. I think they're going to have problems at quarterback, which isn't going to sit well with Gus Malzahn being the offensive brain that he is. But I don't know if they have the talent. But it'll be interesting to hear what Phil says. Also, you might mention to him. I mean, in my opinion, the best player on that team that's went through spring anyway, not that's coming in this fall, but the best player on Arkansas' team to me is Trey Flowers. I think he has a chance to be not just all SEC, but possibly in the next 2 years develop into an All-American. I think he's a heck of a defensive end.
Yeah, I agree.
He can do both. He can run. He can stop the run and pass rush. I think Chris Smith obviously is a good pass rusher. They're going to need him to be a little stronger on the edge against running, obviously.
You know, I'm curious to see, too. We didn't talk a lot about it, but Zach Hawker, I mean – the year was so bad last year that it sort of got lost in the shuffle because of all the other miserable things going on with the program. But Hawker even had trouble finding the range. He was all over the place last year after an unbelievable freshman year. So I'm curious to see.
Sure. I mean, he got benched in the LSU game.
Yeah.
And some of his misses, I mean, you look back at it now, I mean, those were critical to the final result of that game. I know Arkansas lost by. Ended up losing by seven, but
he threw up there, a few football versions of Hazel rockets. I mean, there were some there were some straight up shanks. I mean, I saw who was it? Maybe Stricker that hit a shot like that during the U.S. Open this week. I mean, he had a few shots like that last year. Yeah,
did you see that? And that was a full on shank. That wasn't one of those shanks like Roy McAvoy in Tin Cup, hitting Billy. What's his name in the rear end or whatever, or Lee Jansen. I mean, that thing was like one of those, hit it out there about 70-yard shanks out to the road.
I'm familiar with how that shot works.
I saw Darren Clark do it in the PGA one time. They even slowed down that camera they use that can get, you know, 1/150th frames or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I mean, it showed him, he actually had smothered the ball in it, but the ball kind of, you know, got smothered into the hosel and shanked. I'm not sure what.
I'd rather not break this down. I don't want any of this seeping into my brain. I got enough problems.
I know, you don't want to think about it too much because you just know, you can't even try to shank, though. It's awful.
Real quick, what would be your lasting impression of the U.S. Open? One of three things: Justin Rose as the winner, Phil Mickelson for another bridesmaid performance, or Marion being an almost unfair test, being as difficult as it played.
I thought it was a memorable Open that I hope they'll somehow be able to go back to Marion. But I sort of wanted to root for Phil, or I did root for Phil. It's like rooting for Greg Norman there, you know, when he couldn't seem to win a major other than, you know, a British couple times. But it's kind of like watching, you know, Norman in that 96 Masters. I mean, he just knew he was going to fall apart. Well, in Mickelson's case, he didn't fall apart. He just never made any putts. And for a guy that's known so much for his wedge game and carrying all those wedges, to really lose the thing on a wedge, bad wedge on 13, just overcooking that one.
Yeah.
It just seemed like they overthought it. You could hear Bones and Mickelson talking about the distance and all this. Well, wasn't playing 127 yards. Everybody, you know, they hit it 127 back to the back of the green, and then he had a bad wedge to 15 and then did the chip on the green.
Right.
Which was his only play, but he hit it like, I hate to say he or I would, but I can understand on a thin lie.
Yes.
You know, hitting that chip shot 30, 20 feet past. I mean,
right.
I don't know. It's just a guy that's so profound with the wedge, so proficient, so known for, you know, being the wedge expert, sort of losing the tournament with the wedge.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
And I'm glad for Justin Rose. He's
been around a long time, considering.
He's been knocking on the door. Only he has four wins, but you know, everybody figured when he was 17 that he was something special, and he's finally broken through. I'll tell you what, if I had to put my money today on the British Open, though, I got to think that somebody like Jason Day is going to break through there.
Yeah, he's overdue, isn't he? I mean, he's been there.
All right, guys. Knocking on the
door. He not only plays like three good rounds and is in contention, he plays like three good rounds and about 15 good holes on Sunday, but just not quite good enough.
It doesn't seem like Sunday pressure knocks him out of it. That's usually not it.
How about the gutsy play the other day where he hits it in the water and comes back and chips in to save bogey? That was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it was a fantastic weekend. I love the coverage. But I know golf is not everybody's favorite sport, but
yeah,
I
but
felt
the drama of them, yeah, the drama
yeah,
of the majors,
drama,
yeah.
It's like a whole, it's a play, you know. It's like you're seeing.
It is. It's a whole different deal. I mean, and that's the thing. You saw the ups and downs, like when Phil knocks it in, you know, from the rough for an eagle. I mean, the drama of it all. Even if you're not a devout golf fan like we are, I mean, it's still great drama. I'm not a hockey fan, but I stayed up and watched that multi overtime game the other night, and I mean, it's been great drama. And even for folks who aren't big baseball fans, when you get into playoff baseball, and every run is so important, it's so compelling. And whether you're talking about the College World Series, or you're talking about Major League Baseball, or hopefully you're talking about a Texas League Championship. It's good stuff when you get into the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I guess Phil can tell us about the Travelers. I feel like they've thrown it away, I guess, hadn't they?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, losing eight of the last 11 in the first half usually not going to help you win a division title. So, yeah, I mean, Had a two-game lead a couple of Fridays ago, lost a 16-inning game at Springfield, and that was kind of the start of the tailspin. It's too bad, too, because they've been getting some good starting pitching, but offensively have had a lot of trouble scoring runs right now.
It
been some interesting
like
games, for sure.
Teams. Yeah, it seems like one of the better teams they've had.
Well, there's a lot of talent, specifically position players, so that makes it such a surprise why runs have been so difficult to come by. But you know how the division was won yesterday by the Tulsa Drillers? By sitting around and getting their doubleheader canceled. The second day in a row that their game was canceled with Springfield. The field was left uncovered overnight Saturday into Sunday in Springfield. It rained 10 inches, and that infield is still in a condition where they might not even be able to play today on the first day of the second half. It would be three consecutive days where they can't play because the tarp wasn't put on the field.
10 inches.
I just don't get it.
It's a lot of rain.
It's a lot of rain, and usually there'd be a tarp on the field if there's even the threat of rain overnight. So it's a big head scratcher.
Sounds like a job opening for field superintendent.
I think you might have a point there.
If you checked monster.com today, you would find an opening for a field superintendent over there, and you would find an opening for three radio hosts in Atlanta. So there are lots of job openings around.
Maybe
the country.
Maybe they could switch jobs.
Maybe so. Yes, instead of wife swap, job swap. Maybe so. Jim, we appreciate the time, and we need to get out and play here at some point. My game is in shambles right now. I got beat by an 84 handicapper the other day. I'm reconstructing. I'm going through one of those Tiger periods where I'm reconstructing the swing.
You never have it down. The pros show you that this game is impossible to master.
It is. It's a constant pursuit of something that cannot be attained.
Well, thank you for the time. You guys have a great week. I hope Mississippi State doesn't win it all, really.
That
would just be the. I don't want to see them win it after. It just seems like it'd be the final nail in remembering that this was such a tough baseball season for the Razorbacks.
Yes,
to finish ahead of those guys.
But we've got to get UCA shirts made up that say we were 500 against the national champions if that does happen.
Okay, there you go. Well, let's definitely root against them because if that happens. Definitely. They won more games against them than anybody.
Precisely. So, and actually, I don't know if you're going to be up there this week, Jim, but we will be up there tonight and Thursday and Friday for All-Stars. So I'm actually getting to do the basketball broadcast on Thursday with Trey Schaap, the girls at 6 and the boys at 8. So it'll be fun.
We'll be listening.
All right, Jim, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
See you.
And come up next week, next Tuesday. Let's get you in. All right. He says,